Taylor Watch.
Welcome back to another episode of Taylor Watch. Happy Tuesday. Hope everybody had a lovely weekend.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Sorry for the delay.
How was your weekend, G?
Oh, it was great. Fabulous. I was in Chicago all week.
Good weather, I heard. Or was it?
It was on and off. It was really nice when I got there.
It was supposed to be like the best weather ever.
I know. It was like cold though, low key. Like, it wasn't really that nice. It was nice on Saturday during the day. But it was like cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's kind of cold today. It's like 60 degrees outside.
I kind of liked it though. It was.
It's nice. Yeah.
Because the sun was out.
True. Yeah. True. I did see some ladies having a breakfast outside my apartment. I live next door to a nice restaurant, and there were like some ladies with their white tablecloths like having a luxury breakfast.
Wow.
I can't believe.
Happy Tuesday to those ladies.
Yeah, for real. They had wine. I went, okay, girls.
Yeah.
I was very jealous.
10 a.m.?
Yeah. Legitimately, I was so jealous. Couldn't believe it. I didn't even know the restaurant was open that early, to be honest.
When I was in Chicago, I saw some ladies celebrating. A woman had a bouquet, but instead of flowers, the bouquet was money.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, whoever's getting that bouquet is a special someone. So I was like, oh my God, is that money? And she was like, yeah, it's my bestie's 60th birthday.
Aww.
And guess what she had in her other hand?
What?
A six pack of Pink Whitney shots. Nips.
Shut up.
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
Yep. I was like, oh my God, do you guys like Pink Whitney? And she was like, we love it, blah, blah, blah. It's so good. It's like the perfect, like, easy shot. It's my friend's 60th. We're partying in Chicago.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
What a perfect drink to bring along.
Right?
Oh my God, Pink Whitney, our pink lemonade flavored vodka bestie. We love you so much. I bet those ladies at brunch this morning wish that they had a little bit of Pink Whitney.
Oh, for sure.
They were not sipping on that. They would have had a much more crunk time. So congratulations to those women going to celebrate 68. That's actually a really good idea for my mom's upcoming 60th. I'm going to bring her a six pack of Pink Whitney.
Seriously.
It's a really good idea.
I'll get the party started.
Maybe I'll bring her 60. I'll get 3 20 shot buckets and then
make her drink them
from
all.
Now for the next 60 days.
She has to have one every day.
Yeah. It's probably about that amount of time until her birthday. Her birthday's mid-July. I feel like I could pull that off.
That'd be awesome.
It's like 2 months away, almost exactly. That's,
but
wait,
it's,
wait.
Like, you ice her? Like,
it's literally yesterday, the 19th.
What the hell was that?
What was that?
I think it's just construction.
Okay.
I feel like we would have heard like screaming or something. My God.
I was like, the world is ending.
Yeah, it was like a bomb.
That's it. Okay. A bomb just went off right outside our office. That was crazy, right?
No, that was really loud.
That sounded louder than usual.
Yeah.
But then people were laughing on this side.
So I heard laughter, yeah.
So they didn't clearly hear it. I really almost just passed out and threw up.
No,
right
your
there.
Face was very scared. Like, you were shook. And then you made me scared by your face. But then I heard laughing, and I was like, okay.
No, I get so, like, oh my God, I get so scared by things going on outside like that.
And also, like we have no idea what's going on outside because like, all the windows are, like, closed and blacked out.
Yes.
So we have no idea what's
going
on out
there. We don't know what's happening.
There.
So, you know, if it's a series of bombs going off on 7th Avenue, then it's just something that we're going to have to discover after everyone else.
We're going down with the ship.
Anyway, sorry about all that.
Anyways, back to Pink Whitney. You're kind of
Pink Whitney.
Pinkalicious.
I am. Look at my new shoes.
Yeah, very cute.
They're the Loewe. Loewe.
On Cloud collab.
Two of my fave brands.
Wait,
On Cloud are my favorite. I know that people say that they're chuggy, and I'm like, I don't care because they're the most comfortable sneakers, and I think that they're cute, like that I've ever seen and had. Like, I hate all the other sneakers. Those fucking hideous. What are those ones that everybody has?
Hokas.
They're so fucking ugly. Yes, the Hokas are hideous. The other ones are hideous. It literally looks like this is kind of honestly borderline that, but it looks like a disease. It looks like athlete's foot. It's fucking disgusting. Oh my God, I hate the bottoms of them. Anyway, but the On Clouds never steer me wrong. And I was just perusing in a sad mood on my phone over the weekend, and I found these Loewe On Cloud collab. And you know I love them because I bought that shirt in Paris.
I do, yeah.
So I was like, you know what? let me have a little bit of something. And I knew that it would match our bestie, Pink Whitney.
Well, perfect. Yeah. I mean,
they're the only thing saving my life today.
There's nothing better than putting on a pair of pink shoes, mm-hmm. pink pants, and a pink sweatshirt and getting your Pink Whitney mm-hmm. and going to the party at the Pink Pony Club and everyone's twerking and having a good time with Pink Whitney. They come in every single size imaginable. The big boys, small ones, 20 shot buckets, everything. Perfect for your at-home bar, perfect for pregame with your friends, whatever it is. Summer's coming. It's also the best in the warm weather, I feel like.
It's so good. It's perfect for that. Well, it's just it really is a summertime drink. Like, you can drink it all year round, but yeah. it really shines in summer.
It's just very refreshing as well. So that's why yes. it's great. So make sure you are taking your shot with Pink Whitney.
Woo. Anyway, okay, we have a handful of things to discuss. Of course, the drama never sleeps the second we turn off the microphones. And this time around, I swear, we sit around all week just foaming at the mouth for drama, sending tweets back and forth, sending Instagrams back and forth, being like, ooh, look at this, ooh, look at this. And then right. by the time we sit down to record, we go through everything that we saw and we decide what's worthy of bringing up and what is not. This time around, there are quite a few things to bring up.
Yeah.
So we, of course, have, you know, we've got a big fat fuck face mouthing off again. Mind your business. We'll
Who's
get into
big
that.
Fat fuck face this time?
Donald Trump.
Oh, okay, cool.
We'll deal with that later. Later, we've got a little look what you made me do
Ooh.
Popping up out of nowhere all of a sudden. We've got Taylor's all of a sudden she's active on TikTok, it seems, for a second. We've got a little couple of charity donations. We've got I'm in the middle of my Summer I Turned Pretty rewatch. I know that you just did. You finish?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Gia finished. I'm in the middle of mine. I got a couple of notes on that. We got Harry Styles taking Polaroids of people. We've got the Hunger Games you want to touch on and a couple of other updates just in general. But first things first, yes, at the end of last week, I believe it was Friday. Yeah.
Yep.
Friday. And again, there is nothing I hate more than talking about politics. And I never want to talk about it. I never even want to talk about Donald Trump. I never want to talk about anything because I get so upset. I get so annoyed. Nothing makes sense. Why is Donald Trump tweeting Taylor Swift's not hot anymore because I said she's not? Why?
Because he's Donald Trump. Like,
it's so annoying.
He's just
and we
so
said this,
annoying.
The last time we talked, we like went on this a little bit. We were saying like the only way to deal with a bully is to ignore them and yeah. just move through and whatever. And this time around, I just was like, "You're what a fucking loser!"
It's like, hard when the bully is the president of the United States. It's like, okay, how do we avoid this guy?
Gio,
it's just loser behavior. It was at like 8 in the morning.
No, when I literally woke up and saw it, and I said, "You gotta be fucking kidding me!" It like almost ruined my day. I was like, "You can't be serious with this." But then, honestly, luckily for us, he also talks shit about Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
So wait,
crazy,
I don't wanna
butcher it. Like he like. Two crazy paragraph thing to do. Long about Bruce Springsteen, like clearly
he really went off. What did Bruce Springsteen do?
I just
I don't even know what Bruce Springsteen did.
No, he like talked about Trump at one of his concerts.
Oh, he hates Trump. That is true. He hates.
I think he was in like a European country or somewhere.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
And Trump was like, this coward talking about me in a different country. Blah blah blah.
So he basically said, come say it to my face.
Yeah, like pretty much.
Okay, well, let's just all, I don't know, throw ourselves off a fucking cliff. Like, I'm sick of it. I'm so done with it. Wait, I wanted to read exactly, wait, damn it. Where is it? Did I screenshot it? I did. The American, I just don't know the name and I want to say it exactly correct. About the thing, about what they said. Oh, no. I think I quote tweeted it. Sorry, this is so annoying. I thought I screenshotted this before we got here. So, here we go. Thank God. All right. So, Donald Trump's talking shit about Taylor Swift, calling her not hot, whatever, fine. And then 15 minutes later, he goes on a 25-minute rant about Bruce Springsteen, a piece of shit, blah, blah, blah. Finally, somebody sticks up for people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it took Bruce Springsteen to do it.
Yeah.
But whatever. We've got the president of the American Federation of Musicians makes a statement in response to Trump's recent unprofessional comments. The American Federation, hold on. My allergies are popping off. Sorry. Okay. The American Federation of Musicians will not remain silent as two of our members, Bruce Springsteen and Taylor Swift, are singled out and personally attacked by the President of the United States. Bruce Springsteen and Taylor Swift are not just brilliant musicians. They are role models and inspirations to millions of people in the United States and across the world. Whether it's Born in the USA or the Eras Tour, their music is timeless, impactful, and has deep cultural meaning. Musicians have the right to freedom of expression, and we stand in solidarity with all of our members. Hmm. Okay, so thank you to the American Federation of Musicians. Where the fuck have you been until now?
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like, why? And I like Bruce Springsteen, although I don't know if you guys had the same choice. We are both Jersey girls.
Yeah,
so
we
this
are.
Is something, this is something that only Jersey girls know, and I don't want any Bruce fans getting offended.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Yes. But when you're born, before you can even speak, you are said you need to choose between Bruce Springsteen and John Bon Jovi.
Yep, Bon Jovi. Yep.
And we were a Bon Jovi house.
We were a Bon Jovi house as well. My mom loved Bon Jovi.
So did mine.
Yep.
And he was just so handsome. And that is what it is.
Yeah.
He was more handsome, and that was it. And of course, we know Jake Bon Jovi, married now to Millie Bobby Brown. We like the Bon Jovi family as well. But Bruce Springsteen is, in fact, an icon. What bothers me is that Taylor Swift has been harassed by the president. But we don't even have to use any other examples. She's been harassed by the president, I don't know, 10 times at this point. And they've never said anything. Like, no one's ever said anything. No one's ever stuck up for her. Besides the Twitter warriors, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that is, it is interesting how, like,
like, I've never seen some.
I do
this.
Wonder how many times Trump has gone after her publicly like that. Like,
at least three.
Yeah, at least three.
At least
for
three.
Sure.
We have one Miss Americana document, whatever.
Yeah.
We have, I'm just remembering another
Maybe
one.
Maybe like four.
When she
five?
Said, she, when she put out the thing about Kamala, he said, like, her music sucks.
Yeah.
And then he had another one semi recently. And then this
the
one.
The Chiefs thing, maybe.
The Chiefs thing.
Oh, he
at
made the
Eagles
jab.
Press.
Yeah, at the Eagles thing, yeah.
At the Eagles at the White House. And then this. But I just, and then, but there's, I think now at least five.
Yeah.
Whoever can remember more, you know, let us know.
It is, five at it least. Is crazy that it took Bruce to have the American Federation of Music step in.
But also, yeah, I don't even know what that is, but
I, know,
I appreciate them for saying something, but why not until now, or why, what was this? Is it because Bruce Springsteen was involved? Like, I don't know who of the two has top billing or like what,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, that's not what I mean by
Maybe
that.
Maybe they were just like, oh my God, like now he's getting Bruce into this. Like, we just got to send out a statement now before like he brings in more people. I don't know.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think, agreed, but wouldn't you think like Taylor Swift would be enough?
No, for sure.
That's what's annoying. That's 1,000% annoying to me a little bit. So, but again, beggars can't be choosers, I guess. I'm glad that people are pissed off about it. I'm glad people are annoyed about it.
Yeah.
The tone online, at least from my timeline's perspective, is that people are annoyed. People don't understand. Even Trump people are like, why is he, what are we doing
it's
here?
It's just insanely unprofessional. Like, I just don't really understand how like people can be like, oh yeah, this guy like, he's calm. He has himself together. Like, yes. People want to call women crazy and insane and emotional. This guy's tweeting about Taylor Swift at 8 in the morning saying that she's not hot anymore. Like, what? Like,
it's,
you're the president.
Like,
shouldn't you be, like, concerned about, like,
literally
like
anything
money
else?
Or something? Like, literally,
literally
the government?
Anything else.
Yeah, like, something.
This things, should never be on your radar.
Things that
at
actually
all.
Affect the American people.
It's
like,
insane.
I don't understand.
Well, you know what he's concerned about, Gia, and why he's even tweeting about this in the first place? Because he's saying, hey, woo, look it over here.
Yeah.
Well, he accepts the fucking plane from Qatar.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's not forget. But the thing about, I guess, you know, all of this exhaustion online, especially when, you know, when we're on the heels of a new Reputation Taylor's version, those of us who were there during Reputation and remember like the onslaught of hate and the disgusting way that everybody spoke about Taylor and nobody had her fucking back. And so when these things happen, it's just like frustrating.
Yeah.
And I saw something interesting online. And before I get into my next thing, because I wrote a blog about this and it wasn't about Trump, like it was about other news outlets using Taylor Swift's name for clout and rage baiting and whatever. And we've now dipped into like Pop Crave. Pop Crave is doing the same thing. People's doing it, like sources that I personally previously trusted. But before we get into that, I wanted to say that people online have this theory, and I can't tell if I'm getting a little too in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how sometimes you get lost?
For sure.
And you can't tell what's real. And so I think I'm in this right now where people are saying that they think that sometimes the Swifties online on Twitter specifically. Hold on, I feel like now I have boogers up my nose. My allergies are really, really not good. Okay. People are saying that they weren't fans, or there were some people that weren't fans during the Reputation era, or just like didn't know her. It's not that, okay. they, not that yeah. they were not fans. They just didn't know her very well. They didn't know her music very well and whatever. And so now on the heels of it coming out again, people think that some Twitter Swifties specifically, maybe TikTok too. Again, I really do stay far away from TikTok. Like, I don't think that, like, I'll see the trends and the fun stuff and whatever, but I think it's similar to Twitter and the fact that it's like a major echo chamber that people need to get out of, but that's my own personal thought. I only see the bad shit on Twitter, and I think that some people want to like relive that time of hate so they can say that they were on her side now because they didn't have a chance to be on her side then. And I didn't like totally disagree with that. It sounds a little far-fetched, but do you know what I'm saying? Like, they almost, it's almost like they want to create as many problems now to get outraged about and get mad at people and accusing people of things and getting mad about things that you don't necessarily need to get mad about and,
right.
you know, whatever, because they want to stir up all this shit. And in fact, like, there are people that are hating on her in the same way that they were hating on her then. And it's like they're just getting in fights, and it's almost like they feel like they're fighting the good fight of 2016, but we don't live in that time anymore. It's a totally different time.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
No, I agree with that in some point. I think that probably applies to a lot of Swifties. I say Twitter Swifties.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that kind of is like falls under the umbrella of just the overarching overarching message that like Twitter Swifties are the worst. You know what I mean? Like,
well, yes, for
they
sure.
Just,
it
they
just yes.
they it's like the rage that they the people that they fight on Twitter, the things that they get mad at,
yeah,
is so unnecessary and like stupid that
it's like performative or fake. What are you mad about? What are you yes. talking about? Like,
so I could see why someone's reasoning behind like fighting for her, whatever, fighting for her just in general, fighting for Taylor in general, mm-hmm. like being like, oh, well, I'm doing it because like no one else is. And like then she was getting bullied and like now she is now.
Right, right. They're but, like, we're not making this mistake again.
Right.
But it's like,
I think they're just trying to justify, obviously just trying to justify poor behavior. Yeah. But it's also just like,
or maybe their fandom. They're trying to justify their fandom, being like, look, if I go this fucking hard for Taylor now,
right,
it shows that I'm a true fan.
And I'm also like 90% sure that all of these people, all of these like Twitter Swifties that are batshit insane, are like 13-year-old girls.
Yes.
So like,
and I also think it's the same like 15 people.
Oh,
like,
I'm 1,000%.
I'm like not kidding about yeah. that.
So I just feel like they are so far gone at this point that like
that it's just there's they're no not in, they, they're
it's
not living
just like
in
the way, and I don't want to be like, oh, like people get offended so easily these days, but like the Twitter Swifties
but with this scenario
this
can
core,
say that like
this
it's
core
not.
Group of Twitter Swifties
yeah
get so fucking offended yeah. by everything. It's
I
like
know.
Oh my god, like whatever happened to fucking jokes and like nuance? Like I said,
well, we've said that for how long? Nuance
yeah.
no longer exists on Twitter.
Yeah,
like, you cannot be you,
you
have
can't
to,
have like an
you
opinion
have to be the most literal person yeah. in the world, and you also and if it's if you're being literal in a way that someone else isn't like, then forget
yeah.
it.
I feel like this we touched on this a little bit last week, but like
yeah.
you know, with the whole Mother's Day thing and Travis going to Philly, like somebody tweeted like, oh, Travis is back in Philly, like after the Super Bowl, like bold of him, blah, blah. So clearly
yes,
a joke.
Obviously
and
a joke.
All the replies are like, you're disgusting. Like, why would he not be allowed in Philly to see his family? Like, mm-hmm. dude, this is so blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my God. Like,
I feel like these are the same people that wrote the open letter about Maddie Healy.
1,000%.
You know? This is the same people. Gia, this week is the week. Finally, I will be going to my show with my mom.
So excited.
Yes, I'm going to see Titanic. And I got the tickets courtesy of Game Time.
Shout out
and I'm
to
thrilled.
Game Time.
Always shout out to Game Time. Game Time has been one of our besties on the pod for a very long time. Everybody remembers when they sent us to night one of Miami.
Yep.
Where we got to see Florence perform. We got to see the debut of the new Reputation bodysuit, et cetera, et cetera. There are a lot of concerts coming up. There are a lot of shows coming up. There are a lot of ways you can utilize Game Time. So you need to get on and get yourself the tickets
yes.
of a lifetime.
Yes. Game Time is the official ticketing partner of Barstool Sports, and they make getting tickets faster and easier, and prices on the app actually go down the closer it gets to showtime. I was actually looking just to look and see if there was anything in Chicago. Beyonce was in Chicago last weekend, and while I was perusing, it was like 2 p.m. on Sunday, the prices were going down. I just was so lazy. I just couldn't get myself. I also didn't have a good outfit, which is a huge thing. I had to have a good outfit. Yeah. But I was like, damn, like if I had a good outfit, I would be pressing buy on these seats because they were great prices. Also, there's just so much on the Game Time app all the time. I'm seeing Lil Wayne for $88, The Weeknd for $81, Avril Lavigne for $100, Post Malone for $170. There's so many different options, and that's just music. There's also sports, there's shows, so many different things. So what are you waiting for? Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code TWATCH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code TWATCH for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. What time is it?
Game time. But so anyway, this kind of leads into now, and I'm curious your thoughts as well for this. I had already been writing when the Trump tweet happened. I had already been writing, a blog about covering Taylor Swift as a beat when, like, without being fucking weird, okay? Mm. Like, without being weird about it, without, like, spreading lies, without spreading, like, dumb stories around. And one of those dumb stories happens to be the Taylor Swift, Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni. There was a little bit of extra drama that has since just been completely dispelled. Mm. So we don't even really need to get into it that much. But there was Justin Baldoni's like camp. This guy that they keep getting information from submitted a paper like under oath saying that he knows for a fact that Blake Lively threatened to extort Taylor Swift if she didn't and release 10 years of personal text messages if she didn't put out a public statement in her defense. Mm-hmm. And I saw that and I said that has to be fake because it is so egregious that like if I find out one day that is true, then I mean Blake Lively can burn in hell. Like that's fucking insane.
Yeah.
But that's how insane it is that I truly just cannot believe it. And so doesn't matter because whatever it was that was submitted, the judge in the case for the both of them said this is essentially bullshit. And it's, you know, wait, I want to read exactly the statement, right? We didn't do this already.
No, we didn't. No.
Okay. So because the statement was, here we go. Okay. It says, judge throws out letter from Justin Baldoni's team that claimed Blake Lively threatened Taylor Swift to publicly support her. The letter is improper and must be stricken. The sole purpose of the letter is to promote public scandal by advancing inflammatory accusations on information and belief against Lively and her counsel. It transparently invites a press uproar by suggesting that Lively and her counsel attempted to extort a well-known celebrity. Retaining the letter on the docket would be of no use to this court. Counsel is advised that future misuse of the court's docket may be met with sanctions. So we're getting to the point where this shit is so ridiculous that they're going to start getting fined about it.
Yeah, they're like, stop bringing up stupid shit.
Right.
So, and it's also crazy. Sorry.
That's it. So keep say that.
No, I was also just going to say, it's just so crazy how that statement from, you know, Justin Baldoni's team came out and everyone was so quick to jump on Blake Lively and like, you know, Blake Lively's team also put out a statement being like, this is not true, whatever. And
it's categorically false.
Everyone just turned a blind eye to that part.
And what bothered me, Gia, and why I was going to, that's why I originally started writing this blog, is because it was sources that we trust. Like there are so, media right now is so hungry for clicks and for views. And I guess, we talk about this all the time, being like, oh, clicks, whatever. Clicks and engagement equal money. That's why people want this. Like, obviously, you know, you see an article, it directly translates to money. Like the amount of clicks on a blog directly translates to how much money people get.
Yeah.
The amount of likes on a tweet, retweets on a tweet, if the person pays for premium, gets money. Like that you get, I think I make $100 on Twitter a month, you know what I mean? Because of my tweets or whatever. Like it's, and a lot of people make a lot more than that. And it's really easy to make a lot of money when you have a lot of engagement. So if you're tweeting about bullshit, it's really easy to you know, make a profit off that. So that's one thing. But I saw Pop Crave, I saw people You know, and then the usual suspects, TMZ, Daily Mail, et cetera, like all the usual, you know, shit bags.
Yeah.
But the problem was in how they were reporting it. For example, Pop Crave, who I love. So I do not know. And I understand that this is the landscape now. This is how you're supposed to, like, quote unquote, trick people into seeing your stuff and farming for engagement and whatever. But that's what I'm saying is the problem. Popgrave tweeted, like, Blake Lively threatened to extort Taylor Swift. And then that was the tweet. And it was like, you know, pictures of Justin Baldoni and whatever. And then directly in response to their own tweet, Popgrave replied, like, but a judge has thrown this out and it's all untrue. Mm. But they still leave that original tweet. So people will see that first one. And that's how information spreads. And then people did the same thing. Everybody else did the same thing. So my entire timeline was full of Blake Lively has threatened to extort Taylor Swift with 10 years of text messages. Yeah. And that was the narrative when it was almost immediately dispelled to the point where John Feidelberg sent me being like, I saw you going off about it a little bit. And he was like, and look at this one. And it was from Complex, which isn't even a, like, oh, sorry, it was Complex Pop. I guess they have a pop era now. They had a two slide Instagram. The first slide is Blake and Taylor at what looks like, what is that?
That was her birthday party.
Her birthday or after
that
party?
That was Taylor's 30th.
That's right, sorry. You wore the 31st? Dress, the white one.
Yeah.
And the first one is Blake Lively asked Taylor Swift to make a public statement. That's what it says on the thing. And then in the next slide, it said it took the court less than 24 hours to see through Mr. Friedman's irrelevant, improper, and inflammatory accusations, strike them, remove them from the court, and warn Mr. Friedman that further misconduct may be met with sanctions. That's like, but to have that on the second slide,
yeah,
that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because I, and again, we work in this business, which is what I think is so frustrating about it, but I guess I never thought I'd be sitting here being like, I have more integrity than that. But I just do feel like that. Like, I'm not going to sit here and write a blog, 15 blogs with all the fake Taylor Swift lies just to get the clicks from people to then explain inside the blog that this is all incorrect.
Like,
the headlines do the damage. Half the time people aren't clicking in and reading the story.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating. So I tweeted that blog. I thought I did a good job. I worked on it for 2 days. I was like really trying to be careful about my wording. I was trying to use examples and just like really, you know, lay it all out. And but in my headline, I said like using Taylor Swift's name for clout, rage baiting and whatever is lazy and boring. And immediately the Twitter Swifties who hate me, the Swifties on Twitter hate my fucking guts because of the Travis Kelce video. They cannot get over it. And they were quote tweeting it being like, this is exactly what you're doing. This is exactly what you do. Isn't Taylor's name in your fucking podcast name? First of all, is that High School Swift? I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
Yes, her first name is in our show, but we're not literally saying Taylor Swift show.
Like, yeah.
It's a little bit different. And we are a podcast under an existing media company. Yes, maybe our show itself, we get advertising dollars because people listen to it. We're not sitting here being like, we need to, you know, print money because of Taylor Swift.
I feel like if anything, people get like annoyed with us when we don't talk about certain stuff.
100%.
Like, we won't like
because we talk because about, we know it's bullshit.
Yeah,
but I don't know, and I really kind of like reeled about it all weekend because it bothers me to think that people will assume that is what we are doing. We never would make up a fake story or spread fake stories. Like, I get what they mean being like, you're, you know, well, you write about Taylor Swift too. It's like, okay, well, you have a Taylor Swift Twitter account. What are you doing with that?
Yeah.
You know
it's
what I'm
like,
saying?
It's like, we're all kind of under the same boat. And also, like, we have the same discourse as, like, any fan. We just do it in front of a microphone. So, like,
100%.
It's elevated. And, like, yeah, sure, of course. Like, we use Taylor's name and, like, that helps us. And, like, we do, like, I guess you could make that argument that ipso facto, that kind of means we're, like, to say that we use her for clout,
that's
makes
what I'm saying.
No sense.
That is what's incorrect.
Like,
her name definitely
helps us push what we're talking about.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes, but it's not, I view it as like we're reporting as fans. This show was born out of a segment on another show where we were like, oh my God, what's she up to? We have to talk about it. Not so we could be like, ooh, make a clip and the Taylor clips will go crazy. Like, that's not the intention. The intention is that we are massive fans and we're just as excited about everything that she does as everyone else. And we've now fostered this community that cares about it in this like ridiculous way, like we do.
Yeah.
And that's how we're able to keep this going.
Yeah.
Like if nobody wanted to listen or care about Taylor Swift, then they wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't care.
I think it would be one thing if we were like posting, you know, crazy clickbait titles and, you know, reading every article on Google News and talking about it and, you know, reporting whatever's coming out of people's asses.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we do a good job of trying to, like, you know, remain in the middle and try to be like, we literally have no idea what we're talking about at the end of the day. Like, we're just fans trying to have discussions.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when people... It's just with those it's the Twitter like sphere.
Yeah,
it's
and,
just
and
like,
I'm really in it. Like I know that most people that are listening to this right now probably have no fucking idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And are like, wow, you're really hyped for no reason. It's just like I saw it all weekend, and nothing bothers me more than like being accused of something that I'm not doing.
Yeah.
And it's like I have never once been like, I need this woman to pay my fucking bills. Like,
yeah.
And I'm entitled to that.
Yeah.
Like, if Taylor Swift called Dave tomorrow and said, hey, I don't really love that you guys do that podcast that's like kind of about me, you'd never see us again.
No,
or you'd never see me again.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I would never, I'd be a silent fan. I'd be like Nikki Glaser, where it's like, I'm a huge fan, but I'll never look at you. I'll never be around you. Like, that's the amount of respect. And it's just, it's so frustrating to be misunderstood in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it is frustrating.
And then the message is lost. The message that I'm trying to send of like, look at these media outlets. Don't believe them because they're trying to get you. They want your clicks. Like, use critical thinking, whatever. It's completely lost in the sauce because everyone wants to be like, you're chasing for clout. You're chasing for clout.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
I
don't know how I'm going to get over it.
You have to think, like, I think the way to think about it is like, none of these people obviously listen to the show, so like none of them know us and like like what we talk about and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I feel like all these people are 13 years old on Twitter, especially all the Swifties. And I'm sure a lot of them are like those fake Swiftie troll accounts that just like prey on people's downfall.
For sure.
And
sometimes I wonder, I'm like, are they, it also all starts happening kind of at the same time. Like, I'm starting to, I'm so far off the reservation with this. I'm starting to believe that these are like other trolls that we would know maybe from Barstool that are like pretending to be Swifties.
Oh, 1,000%.
Like, I know I've said that, but I really think it because...
No, I think that people
pretend... I was getting shit for other things.
People
first.
Use Taylor Swift's profile pic... Mm-hmm. You know, use her as a profile picture, and then they just hate and hate and hate, and then, you know, the Swifties get the negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that applies to, like, a lot of other fandoms, too. Like, there's,
so
like,
too,
fake fans that,
fake
like,
Ariana
infiltrate.
Fans,
yeah,
always.
And, I just... It's always a ticking time bomb, I feel like, with Twitter. Like, no matter what you say, people are going to be like, blah, blah, blah. So, like,
it's
just
gotta, the Swiftie stuff, whenever, it's like the incels, finally accepted the incels for, like, what they are and their bullshit, and I can work through it, as annoying as they are. But when the Swifties, like, quote-unquote fake Swifties get through, I really get riled up because I'm like, you are so dumb. Like, this is not... You're not a fan. Like, you're not a fan. You're not understanding. Like, you're not, you're a child, or you're immature, or you're obtuse, and I'll say all these things. There's one, I'm also getting accused of, there was an incel, like an Ohio State incel coming through and like replying to every single one of my fucking tweets, not even about Taylor, like just about completely other shit. And that made no sense to anything. Call me a moron, you know, whatever. And then I replied and I was like, I hope you die in your sleep, because I will wish death upon any troll that comes to me. And I also, I don't know, sometimes people get weird about like, oh my God, you're wishing death upon people. It's like, I am.
Yeah.
Sorry. If you die because I wish death upon you, then I'm going to start charging money because I'm clearly a witch and I'm made of magical powers. So chill. But then some other like freak and who's exposed herself. I know her real, she's a real woman who's like 50 something. And I know because she was commenting the same thing on all my platforms, on TikTok, on, unless it's someone using a catfish with this woman, which that would suck for her, but commenting on my TikTok, on my Instagram and my Twitter multiple times, all the same comment, same screenshot, same everything, but like her TikTok was her real person.
Yeah.
And being like, Kelly's wishing death upon Swifties. She told a Swiftie that she hopes that she dies in her sleep. And I was like, girl, that's an incel. Go look at all their MAGA tweets and fucking Ohio State suck my balls tweets.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's not a Swiftie, I promise you. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's just a lie. That's just fake. Don't, Oh my God. I just don't even know.
Yeah.
It's riled me up for 3 days.
It's really frustrating because, yeah.
It's annoying as fuck.
I know how you feel. It's like, yeah, because you feel like, you know, in this community, we should all be uplifting each other. And it doesn't like that in Twitter. Yeah. And it's just like stupid reasons to get upset at each other. And it causes a divide. It causes fans of Taylor Swift, the name Swifty, to have a negative connotation.
For sure. Those people are not. They're not my friends. No, like, they are not they're not a part of my community, those people.
No, they also like hold grudges that I feel like Taylor herself wouldn't even hold. Mm-hmm. And like, there's no like forgiving and forgetting. There's no like moving on from certain situations for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, I don't know if this is going to sound bad, but like a little part of me, maybe it's just to make myself feel better, but I'm mm-hmm. like, they're just jealous because they can't do what we do.
Yeah, I actually love that mindset.
You know what I mean?
Sorry, like, jealousy's a disease. Get like well soon.
If any fan had the opportunity to like come on a podcast and talk about their love for Taylor Swift, like they would in a second.
For sure.
So just like,
which by the way, you can buy a podcast microphone on fucking Amazon. Get your make a podcast.
Yeah,
do it. Why? Who's stopping you?
Yeah.
If you think that your opinions are so important, then put your voice out there, put your face out there, and do it.
Yeah.
You know? It just drives me.
That's it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. Fucking Twitter sucks. It just, I know. Like, it's a cesspool. And then once the ball gets rolling with the haters, they just all pile on.
It just keeps going.
They
on
love
and
to
on.
Kick a girl when she's down.
They really do. Yeah. But the whole reason I'm even saying any of this and bitching, obviously I wanted to bitch about it, but I really I'm saying it because I think that message that I'm, again, was really trying to get across, I know that we've talked about it so many times on the podcast, I think that that's what's most important. And I'm not saying, like, you know, I'm not trying to drag you into my paranoia of, like, don't trust the media, but I just feel like we've talked about before media literacy. Like, everyone needs a lesson. Like, you need to...
Well, it's just, like
it's always make sure you check everything before you believe it right away. Like,
it's
crazy
how many people, especially women, that was like the most frustrating part about it with the whole Blake and Taylor stuff, like how many women are so quick to jump on Blake Lively's neck and be like, she's a fucking this, she's that, like,
it's gross.
Rep TV coming sooner than we thought, like, Taylor's mm-hmm. gonna get a revenge. Like, this isn't fucking promo for Reputation.
No.
Like, this is somebody's real life that we're dealing with. By the way, we have no idea what's true and what's not true.
No idea what's going
on. And we won't until...
You don't know these people.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
don't know these people.
So, like, I don't understand how people can be like, oh, like, this is it from Justin Baldoni. Like, oh, this is disgusting. Taylor and Blake's friendship is over. Like, you clearly did not do the right research or, like, read all of the information going on in the case. So, yeah, it's just, like, it's scary and disappointing, especially when it's all, like, the women jumping down each other's throats with this stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just like you said, media literacy,
mm-hmm.
having to make sure that you're getting all the sides of this. But unfortunately, when Taylor Swift is being involved in the conversation, mm-hmm. people just want clicks. And yeah, it's just like right back to where we started.
Exactly. It's just so annoying. But yeah, I guess shame on Pop Crave, shame on people, shame on people who are our friends, I thought, for falling into that style of reporting that everyone just seems so effortlessly fall into.
Yeah, it's just,
you know?
Like, I
wish
I saw
that
all these TikToks.
You could be more creative about it. Like, I know everybody needs clicks. Everyone's trying to stand out. Everyone's trying to do whatever. Just, you can be more creative about it. And you don't have to spread lies and make people believe something false and then hope that they catch the follow-up that you were lying. You know what I mean? Ugh, it's just annoying as fuck. And Gia, and it's the perfect fucking time. It's the perfect time for Reputation. And I know that, like, and again, Blake Lively aside, like, it really is the perfect time for Reputation because I just really, it's nothing like the first time around. Like, it really isn't. And the first time around was such a vile onslaught. I've never seen anything like it. Like, people would be disgusted. Like, if I were to take those 2 years or 3 years, whatever amount of time that was, and just, like, replay it for you at fast speed, all the, like, media clips, headlines. I mean, you know, we saw Miss Americana, but I just feel like it was even worse than that. Like, that didn't even show how vile people really were. And I'm thankful that people aren't acting like that, but it is unfortunate that people are still popping off in that way. But whether Rep is coming or not, we did get another full-length, nearly full-length version. Yeah,
like everything but the bridge, basically.
Yeah, a version of Look What You Made Me Do for, is it the first episode of the new season for Handmaid's Tale?
I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not caught up on Handmaid's Tale. I'm a whole season behind.
I after fucking June, like, had the 19th opportunity to leave Gilead, I was like, okay, you were like, I can't watch
this.
Well,
she did, spoilers, she did eventually leave Gilead, but she, like, comes in and out of Gilead. Yeah. She's trying to bust them all out. That, right. I think, is really what it is. And so in this clip that they've shown, I do, it's either the season opener or the penultimate or something. Yeah. And they're playing Look What You Made Me Do as they, a bunch of the handmaids basically get in a truck and escape. That's I don't know what is going on there. But thoughts on, did you think, people are saying that they don't think it matches up with the scene.
No, not at all. I think it was a terrible usage of the song, to be honest.
It was too uplifting. I don't know.
Like, look what you made me do. But it's like a bunch of women trying to escape.
It looked like they were blowing up people and like that. Yes, that all makes sense.
Like,
but
to me, it's more like look what you made me do. Like, I don't know, like a baddie breaking up with her boyfriend, and like her and her girls are going out to the club. Like, not like women like getting impregnated and like have to escape for their lives.
Having to get around for that. Well, the whole
just seemed a little cheesy for the.
Yes. Yeah. Cheese is a good way to describe. I think it just was more. Like, I understand what they're doing because
it kind of took away from the intensity.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I don't even watch the show, so I don't know what I'm saying, to be honest.
I'll explain a little bit with the show. Like, Elizabeth Moss, spoilers, I guess, if you haven't watched, but I mean, it's really not spoilers. Like, this is, everybody knows the premise of the fucking show. But the whole point is that June, Elizabeth Moss, she's escaped Gilead and she's gone through, like, she sees what's on the other side. She sees what's going on. She then went back in, essentially undercover, trying to help everybody else get the fuck out. A lot of awful things have happened. People are coming for them. Like, they know what's going on, whatever. So I think this moment, and this is, I believe, is the last season. So
okay.
I think. I might be wrong. I mean, it's been on forever,
it's
right?
Crazy.
It's crazy. It's like pre-COVID. But so this moment, she has been orchestrating it for a long time.
Okay.
So this is like a big fuck you.
Oh, okay.
And they planned it for all these trucks that were following or whatever. Those are the bad guys.
Okay. I kind of take back what I said then.
So they walked in. Yeah. So they walk through. And then as soon as the guys are coming, that's why they start running, because all the bombs are going to start going off to kill all those people. So
okay.
It really was kind of like it was a mic drop, like, ooh, look what you made me do. But the show is so fucking serious that it did bring a lightness to it that I want to enjoy, but it did make me go, huh, this song?
Yes. Okay. I still
but
stick
yes,
with
it's
that.
It's still like, it works.
But like,
though.
Okay,
it
does fit the vibe for sure.
It fits like bad bitch vibes. Definitely.
Yes.
It definitely fits a bad bitch vibe. But
another thing with annoying fucking Twitter Swifties, you know.
You actually really like the newer seasons of Handmaid's Tale.
Really?
Think. Yeah, yeah. Once she figures it out, you'd like it.
Yeah, I was getting so frustrated.
She's like leading the revolution now. Like, she's she's good.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, also, like, I have such a weird thing with Elizabeth Moss, too. Like,
how she's kind of weird looking. She's got one of those faces that's like
no.
her expressions are so
visceral. She always looks like she smells something really bad.
That is true,
but
she's an incredible actress, but that's like her facial acting is so jarring.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my God.
No.
I was just going to say
because she's a Scientologist.
Well, that too. People forget she's in Thai.
I'm like, damn, she's such a good actress. And I'm like, damn, she's also a fucking Scientologist.
You know
what,
though?
So weird.
The amount of people that literally get on their hands and knees for Tom Cruise's penis, like,
no,
people don't care about Scientology.
It's crazy.
Which I don't know how you don't care about that, but people don't care about it.
I think it's just so in the back of my head, but yeah, no,
me
no,
too,
but like literally mostly 100% was the fact that I felt like three seasons I was watching in a row, every season finale was like her like about to leave and then being like,
mm-hmm.
oh, I have to go back, like, mm-hmm. I forgot my purse, like, obviously that's not it, but like
it was kind of
like
that,
oh
though.
My God, like, this girl has so many opportunities to leave and it's just so frustrating. But now, of course, I'm like, should I keep watching? Like, should I catch up?
I think yes. I think you should catch up because there
have been like nine seasons.
It's really hard to, like, the beginning, it was hard for her to leave. Not only, and you kind of find this out, not only because like she was in like a Stockholm syndrome situation and not knowing what was going on in the real world. That was the problem with Gilead. It's like they didn't know what was going on in the real world, and all they were told was like it's anarchy and war and whatever. And her whole thing is like, if I'm going to leave, I'm taking all these bitches with me. So she had to kind of figure that out.
Yeah, that's
and
why
then
I
that's
was
when
like,
it really
okay.
gets good. Yeah. There's some crazy shit that happens in that show. Like, no, I don't know how.
I think I watched at least four seasons.
I'm telling
three
you,
three to four, I would say.
I'm claiming it's season five when all of a sudden the revolution starts. Like, she gets out, she's finds everything. Like, there's so much shit that goes on in that show that it's really hard to keep track of. But it's why I stopped watching it. I kind of fell off, but also just it started feeling so real. Like, it started feeling so like similar to reality.
Yeah.
In that dystopian future way where it's like, it's not real and it won't happen, but it's not like it's so far fetched that it could, that you can worry that it wouldn't.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
like, if you told me tomorrow that there is a Gilead like on the border of Canada or whatever, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, I would believe it.
Yeah.
But what happens in the outside world is what doesn't make sense. Like, right. It's a little too intense. Like, there's too many, you know what I mean? Like, there's too much, too many regulations that wouldn't allow for that to happen,
right?
Like, even with like Trump or whatever, like, right. it's not the same.
Let's pray.
I know. But it would have to be like the, you know, more than 50%
that's like
of the world
thing
would have
he,
to
like,
feel a certain way. Like, it's
yeah,
not,
right. But he like inducts everyone into the cabinet, and then
it's
like
basically
everyone
a cult,
pushes
yeah.
the religion. But yeah, no, I mean, it is scary, and I think that
people
also
would never
had a
let
little...
religion take over. That's the thing. It's like
you
they,
think
not here,
but there's so many crazy there's religious too, people though. And...
But there's too many kinds of religion. That's the problem. Is like there's too many.
Right.
Only a
like
couple
the,
religions
like the crazy,
feel like that.
The,
yeah.
Like the crazy, like the Mormons would have to like fight with like the Baptists.
Yeah. Like there's too many conflicting ideologies.
Right,
to
right.
really let one take over.
I hope so.
You know? Or so we think. Who knows? The guy, it's crazy. The show is crazy.
The show is crazy.
But it is a very good show. And despite feelings on Elizabeth Moss, she is a fantastic actress. And I loved her in Mad Men. I love her as Peggy.
Why?
She's Peggy for me forever, you know?
Yes. Why was I seeing so much hate for the song on Twitter? Everyone's like, oh, it's botched. Like, it stinks. It doesn't
sound
the
same. Because these aren't real people.
Yeah.
But also, I think...
Well, and that's what makes me feel better about, like, when people are, like, mean to us online. Like, they're also mean to Taylor. Like, you can claim
mean
that
to her
you're...
always.
You guys can claim that she's... You guys love her so much that you're her biggest fan. I'm talking to the Twitter people.
Yeah.
That you're their her biggest fan, you would die for her, blah, blah, and then look what you made me do, Taylor's version comes out, and you're like, this song fucking botched. Like,
you
this
tweet,
song
oh, that's not,
like,
that's
it's
what
a,
you tweet.
It's a fucking,
oh, this not,
oh,
you know
that's
I mean?
Not, yeah, like,
hate,
oh,
hate
this is so,
no, I don't know why,
like, stupid,
I don't
like,
know why there's hate for it, because I thought it sounded awesome. And I was hyped to hear so much of it. In
I know.
That, in
like,
that
I feel like
clip.
It sounded good. And I feel like it sounded like crisper almost.
It sounded crisp. It sounded badass. The production on it was good. Like, I almost wondered if it was a remix version. Like, it didn't. There was a little bit of something behind it.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, it
kind of
sounded like countryer a little bit.
100%. So who knows? But the thing is that, you know, we're excited about this, but we weren't jumping out of our seats, passing out, throwing up, et cetera, et cetera, because we have already heard the Look What You Made Me Do Taylor's version in The Dynasty, which was the Patriots, Tom Brady, you know, documentary, whatever that they did.
Also
like
in that show,
ago.
The Wilderness.
And in The Wilderness, yeah. That's right, in The Wilderness. Oh my God, and also, so not to jump ahead, but Delicate was in Summer I Turned Pretty.
Yeah.
So, which I know we talked about already, but I'm doing the rewatch. So I noticed that, and it all happened on, I was watching that all weekend. So that came to my head too. So
right.
we've kind of heard a handful of songs from Reputation now used in television. The version already exists, obviously.
Yeah.
Like there's something, whatever it is, like Reputation exists somewhere and it's done to a certain extent as far as we know. So who knows about all that.
Yeah, I mean,
but yeah.
Like, it's,
Handmaid's Tale, everybody was popping off about it. I was getting texts. Devin was texting me at midnight
Devin
being like, is this important? And I was like, I mean, not really. Like,
yeah.
I was like, it is, but it's
well,
not.
Well, I mean, it is interesting because like.
It's interesting. I wouldn't say it's important.
It's 6 days before the AMAs.
Yes. Could
June?
Be an Easter egg.
They were saying June's version. They're like,
yes,
oh,
they were calling it Rebellion June's version.
So like.
Which is what she was doing
Reputation
in that
Taylor's version in June.
Could be.
Right.
So could it be more, right, could it be more Easter eggs by way of The Handmaid's Tale? It is a Hulu production. Hulu is a part of Disney.
The timing of it all Disney is very suspicious, mm-hmm. I will say.
If you think about it all behind the scenes, it does kind of make sense. And yes, six days until the AMAs, Monday.
Rep is the sixth album. Snippet release is 6 days before the AMAs. Look What You Made Me Do is track six, mm-hmm. and has six words. Mm-hmm. And this series has six seasons.
Woo!
And premiered in 2017. The same year Taylor released Reputation.
Exactly. So yeah, it really could be some sort of collab Easter egg. I am curious to know because I did kind of think like, oh, what about this? Who cares? Like not who cares, but I was like,
no, that's what I kind of thought that show. At first too. When yeah. Devin sent me the tweet, I was like, wait, we already heard this.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't realize it was a longer version. And yep. I just the timing is very
the timing is sus.
Interesting. Very
it is
interesting.
Sus. It's interesting. So we'll have to see.
Love. Okay. Bold and branch.
Forgot. Okay. Oh, Gia, I forgot to mention. I had friends over my apartment this weekend.
Wow.
An unscheduled visit by my friends on Friday. I was supposed to go to another one of my friends' houses, and he had to cancel last minute. He had to work on some work, and so I said, "Everybody, come over my place, and then you can come over when you're done with your work," which is exactly what we did. And do you know what? Andrea came into my bestie. Andrea went into my bathroom, came out, and said, "Kelly, where did you get that robe that Ooh. Has your initials on it?" And I said, oh, Bull and Branch.
Why don't you take a seat? I'll tell you all about it.
She saw my waffle robe, the one that Gia and I, we each have our own waffle robes. We got them at a Bull and Branch event a while back. And so we were lucky enough to have ours monogrammed. But Andrea was so jealous of my robe that she asked me for the link. She's like, can you send me the link? I need that robe. That's exactly the kind of robe that I want. I sent it to her. I said, use code TaylorWatch for what? 15% off, I believe?
15, yes.
And she was like cracking up. She's like, oh my God, I had no idea that it was like one of your sponsors. My friends don't listen to my podcast, right. But that's
a whole different issue.
That's a whole different thing. Yeah. None of our friends listen to our shows, but that's for the best. The message behind it though is that she was in my bathroom and it stopped her in her tracks.
Yeah.
And Bull and Branch is the only kind of a company that can do something like that.
For sure. I also love the robe, especially during the summer, because I feel like I always like overheat when I'm like doing my hair and makeup and
Me
stuff.
Too, yeah.
And the robe is perfect, lightweight, breathable. So when I'm getting ready to go out and stuff, I'm not like sweating my butt off.
Mm-hmm. You know, I use it when I get spray tans. If I get a spray tan, I come home and I put that robe on because it's soft. It's not like
sticking
too hot,
to your
too
skin.
Tight. It's not sticking to me. It's like, and then I wash it and it looks like I never, you know what I mean? Like the spray tan doesn't stay in it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's my favorite.
Good advice.
Thank you.
So not only do they have the amazing robes, but they also have their signature sheets, which are made with a finest 100% organic cotton, feel buttery to the touch, breathable to sleep in, and get softer with every wash. Feel the difference an extraordinary night's sleep can make with Bull and Branch. Get 15% off plus free shipping on your first set of sheets at bullandbranch.com with promo code TaylorWatch. That's Bull and Branch, BOLLAND. Branch.com, promo code TaylorWatch to save 15% off. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
But yeah, so I just think I think that our noses can stay on.
Yeah.
I think
eyes that are peeled, noses are on, wigs may be on.
Wigs are on. Things are happening, things are moving and grooving. But and that's that.
Can I say two things about that?
Yes.
One, it's all really gonna be dependent on if she's gonna be there.
100%.
And two, with the list of performers that we just saw, it's not looking too good, in my opinion.
It's not looking too good. But I will say, the only caveat for that is it did say list of performers. So,
right.
You know, so, and the list of performers, in fact, are Benson Boone, top billing Benson Boone, Renee Rapp.
Yeah, what?
Blake Shelton. Gloria Estefan, Gwen Stefani, Lainey Wilson, and it's hosted by J-Lo?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something
Which,
right now.
This I'm whole not lineup, going to that award
I'm not
show.
Going either. I'm not going. Like,
I'm not going to that award show.
I'm not
show
saying
any,
these
Taylor.
People are not like bad, but who's the star power
Or
here?
Should
no
I say
offense.
I'm going to see Renee rap and then I'm leaving.
Exactly. And that's that. So I'm curious about what that's all about.
That's not looking too good to me in
Who
my
knows?
Opinion.
And then again, those are all performers. Maybe the people who, you know, maybe the people who are nominated just like aren't performing.
Like
are any of those people nominated? I don't think so.
Right.
Maybe Benson Boone.
I guess we'll have to really.
Lainey Wilson. It's like she, you know, she was popping off last year. Like, why is she in it right now? You know what I mean? Like, why is she the host?
Right.
or the performer, like, does she have a new, or, you know what I mean? Like, didn't Lainey Wilson's album came out, like, last year?
I actually don't know.
She was everywhere. Like, I feel like she went on Chicks in the Office even. Yeah. Like, she was everywhere. So maybe she's got more music going on.
I know Renee Rapp has new music coming out.
So it could be that,
like,
too.
Like, low-key tomorrow, I think.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, perfect timing for AMAs. Benson Boone, he's going to be doing some flips.
God, please.
Is he going to do a flip from the fucking ceiling this time? How high can he go?
Probably.
His knees are going to blow out one day, and we're going to feel bad.
You know, I
don't know if I'll feel bad, actually. I'll be like, don't, I knew that was going to happen.
I can't get with the flipping. I really can't get with him in general. And, like, I know people are like, people are too mean to Benson Boone, blah, blah, blah.
And they are.
Well,
not
you
us,
know,
though.
I just don't like him, and I'm allowed to not like him.
Yes, you are.
And where's Harry? I miss you. I don't like his flipping. I don't like the crotch grabbing. I don't like the cringy facial expressions. He tweeted that he was, like, nominated for something, and he said, like, oh my God, like, peas pants. Like, ew.
I know, I saw that.
He, like, made his Instagram caption, like, oh my God, peas pants.
Like, he acts like a fucking, and I don't know what kind of person this is. Because and it actually pisses me off so much because people think this is associated with, like, millennial culture, and it is not. I'll tell you that right now.
We were looking
at nuts.
TJ and I were looking at his age because, like, I was like, he's definitely, like, my age or older because, like, his humor sucks.
Yes.
And he's 22.
Not, that's what I'm saying. It is not millennial
humor. He was
Mormon.
He was Mormon.
Okay, fair. But then here's the thing. Like, he does that thing. You know that girl who's so fucking famous on TikTok for making those stupid faces, like Bella Porch.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever Bella Porch is, how she makes those faces, and it's like,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That shit. That energy is not millennial. I want everybody to know that is not.
No, it's weird, like Gen Z, like
younger than us,
like streamer.
Yes, streamer shit. Like, it's like Kai Cenat. Like, I think Kai Cenat sucks.
And
I know that the kids love him.
Kai Cenat and Aiden Ross are, like, ruining children.
I fucking hate Kai Cenat. Yeah. I hate him. I think he's so cringe. Like, if there's someone on earth that I can call cringe, it's Kai Cenat. The way that they talk, even the way that, like, Benny Blanco was, like, code switched to talk with him and was talking like he was 20 years old and, like, listen, bro, you know what, bro? It's like this, bro. It's this, bro. It's this, bro. How many times are you going to say, bro? Like, I cannot talk enough shit about that genre of, like, conversation that's how Benson Boone acts is what I'm getting. Like, he acts like that. And I don't know what kind
he's
of
just, like, cringe.
That is.
He's
like,
just cringe.
Is that what it is? Because, like, I feel like it's a specific, like, it's almost like where they're like, hi.
No, yeah, like,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like, we're like, hey.
Yes, what the,
like,
fuck,
that's,
is
like,
that?
Cringe. It's like anime, like, cringe. Like, I don't really even
anime
know.
Cringe? Okay.
Yeah, like, that's kind of how I would describe
not
it.
Not millennial.
Yeah,
not
millennial, no.
No one I know has ever acted like that, ever. Ever.
Okay, but millennials, like,
no,
like,
and I also have a beef.
I must ask you a question.
No, they don't. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's also
what they
not
did,
millennials.
Though.
No. Those are the people older than me. Like, the losers that started off online where they had Facebook when I was in seventh grade. Like, that's them. That's X. That's Gen X. Millennials get so
no,
much
No, millennials
shit.
Were mustache to the wazoo. Mustache everything.
No.
Yes, Kelly.
No, no. Mustaches were everywhere. That was not my age group. There was the people older than us. The fucking girls wearing the mustaches at bachelorette parties and shit. That's older than me. I promise. I never. You find a picture of me in a
2010?
Mustache. 2010. I was in college. I was a sophomore in college, and I would never do that lame shit.
Yeah, millennial in 2010 starter pack.
Yeah, I would never fucking do that shit in 2010. I was not wearing mustaches. Like, that's like, I swear to fucking God. I know that that was a thing. Those are people older than me. I swear to fucking God. I swear.
Okay.
Because, again, it's so lame that it makes me want to die. And I feel like millennials get called lame and choogy and whatever and this and that for so many other things. Like, I want to say 5 to 10 years older than me, that's them. And
right.
I just need that to be, I need that to, like, Benson Boone, we don't claim Benson Boone.
No,
that's,
Benson
that's
Boone
the whole
is
thing.
Like, he's younger than me.
He's way young, but people accuse him of acting like that and drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah,
because I'm like, that's I refuse to I won't come in there.
He's very cringe. He's very
once,
cringe.
Once there's a very specific like I want to say like a 1 year difference between the loser, whoever that group is, and people my age and like around my age that I went to college with or whatever. And I think it has all to do with when you got a computer in your house. Like it is like, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
when you got a home computer, things changed. And the people that were older than me did not have home computers growing up. Like I was like the first person to have a home computer. Like my age group was like the first people to have home computers. You know what I mean? Like we had a Gateway desktop computer when I was in sixth grade. And that changed my life. Like that made me different. But it did not make me put mustaches on. That I swear to fucking God. I swear to God.
Listen, I'm just
don't want me in there.
Yeah.
At least me. If you wanna if there are other millennials doing elder millennials doing mustaches, I'm telling you it's not me.
No, yeah. I don't know. I remember a lot of mustaches, fedoras, and
oh my God, again, that's Jason Mraz. He's like 45.
No.
I swear.
Kind of like 2015, like peak Tumblr, like I feel like
2015
everyone
was not peak Tumblr. Peak Tumblr was oh no, Gia, no. We can't even fight about this. That's it. No. Do you okay. If Gia thinks Tumblr was peak 2015.
Yeah.
I think Tumblr was peak 2007. So that can be a conversation that other people can have. Because
right.
That was your peak Tumblr. Tumblr was, I had Tumblr in high school. Like I was writing on Tumblr crying about my like ninth grade boyfriend.
Yeah.
I swear.
Okay, on to the next topic.
I would say that the AMAs are not, I'm not excited for the AMAs. I am excited for Taylor to show up and hopefully announce something.
Yeah, I'll get excited if we see her that she's there. I'll get excited.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
And that's that. But I think like, I think that we're either being set up for like the biggest bait and switch of all time or we're gonna get everything we want. What do you think? I feel like that's the only two options.
I don't know, it's really the only thing that's like making me not fully clown is the fact that it's the AMAs and not like the Grammys or whatever, like a bigger or just a bigger stage in general or just something in general that's not the AMAs, because it's kind of giving iHeart Awards and I'm
totally.
Like that's the one thing that's having me have reservations because mm-hmm. everything else is like a little too good to be true, you know, like all the Easter eggs and stuff, all the hints and everything, like just lines up so well that it's hard to not clown about it, especially now with the Look What You Made Me Do snippet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess it's really just the fact that it's the AMAs and now the fact that it's the AMAs with Benson Boone and Jennifer Lopez hosting, which I'm like, uh-oh.
I just don't even know how she got that job. Like, how did she get that? Why? Well, what is J-Lo up to?
I can't like, feel like it's what? That hard of a job to get
no,
for
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, why? Oh, wait. You think that it's... Sorry, say that again?
It's not that hard of a job for, like, a celeb like J-Lo to
Oh, no. I'm saying, like, who called J-Lo? Like, out of everyone that we can call,
right?
Why are we calling... Like, does she got... What's she got going on? You know what I'm
probably
saying?
Probably not. Like, she probably has nothing better to do.
Maybe that's why she's available.
Right.
I just think it's very random for J-Lo to be... Right, like I don't know.
Maybe they're honoring her or something. Like,
but she's hosting,
right? I don't know. Maybe she's just bored and she wants to host.
Maybe
get some hosting cred under her doc, under her, whatever it's called.
Yeah,
fucking what are those things called? Resume.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe she wants to host the Grammys one year. She said, first, I gotta do something small. Let's tackle the AMAs
and then let's move on and up,
you know?
Yeah, you know, that could be a good...
Maybe
yeah.
she wants to host a
Because has
TV
she ever, like, hosted something before? Like, that's why I'm just so shook by J-Lo. Like, I just I would never... Gun to my head, like, who's you know, hosting the AMAs? She, I think, would be...
Right.
I don't even think I'd think of her.
No.
So, kind of random. But that's that. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Whatever.
We'll have to keep our eyes peeled.
Gotta keep our eyes peeled. We also have, we heard about two instances over the weekend, charitable instances.
Yes.
One of them being that Taylor didn't go to the Mahomies gala.
Yep.
But she did, in fact, donate a signed guitar.
Cute.
Travis said, He was like bidding, right? Yeah. He was like running up the bid a little bit, which is fun and cute. And then he said, "Oh, never mind. I've got one of those at home. I don't need it."
Which is very cute.
So went to somebody else. Good for them.
Good family. Yeah. I think Olivia Levin Swifties fraternity posted a funny Instagram post. They were like, "Men should stop posting pictures of them holding up fish and start posting pictures of them holding up Taylor Swift guitars."
100 billion percent. That's hilarious. Yeah. Like that will get my attention without question.
Exactly.
There was also one of the 22 hats had been auctioned off for $22,750.
Crazy.
Quite the amount of money. I appreciate that they capped it, that they didn't let it get to 23.
Right, yeah, you know that's what
I
mean? Cute.
I appreciate that.
I wonder, like, because I just, when I saw that, just said, like, at an auction, like, I wonder, like, you know, it's definitely going to something, charity or something, but it's just so crazy to me that, like, people are spending that much money for, I mean, obviously it goes to a good cause.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like we always used to talk about like where the hat went, what do people do with the hat, blah, blah,
I
guess.
Which hat it was?
Now we know. Like,
because she usually says, right? Oh, no, her name is only on it.
She signed it, yeah.
She signed it, but, well, she signs all of them, but she also puts the date on them. But we can't see the date on this one. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, usually she puts like the date of the concert that it was given at also on it.
Okay.
So I was about to look and see. So I'm not sure, because you know what I mean? Like maybe they didn't include it in the photo, because I feel like the last time this happened, they found the family and they were like, do you remember this?
Yes. Yeah. The family. They gave
the family shit.
Yeah.
Like, people were like, fuck that family. Like, why would you ever get rid of this? Like, why would you ever sell it? Like, that's crazy. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I'm trying to see, like, if there's really any extra. It just says, oh, where the heck all did that just go?
Yeah, so look, there's a reply right to it. It says, this is why she started ensuring NDAs were signed. I truly hope this was an extra she donated to a charity. But if not, it'll be super easy to trace back to who it was. Oh, no. And it says, according to the auction listing, it was from East Rutherford.
Okay,
oh,
interesting.
That's wow. The call's coming from inside the house.
So, but again, I'm maybe not it's trying that to, family.
Could be. But I'm also not trying to shame this family. Like, if they're donating to charity, that's whatever. The question that I have is, like, you know, how do you explain this to the child?
Right.
You know?
That's the thing, though. Like,
I guess that maybe it's a valuable lesson about charity.
Yeah, but also, like, I wonder
be so pissed at my parents.
I know, but I'm just confused, though, because, like, if this is an auction thing, like, they don't get the money, right? Like, whoever's selling it, like...
No, it normally an auction, the proceeds go to charity. Like, whoever bought the hat, that $22,750 will go to whatever charity that it's supposed to.
Right, yeah, I guess, yeah, like, go to a good cause rather than...
I do think that they have auctions... That might have been a dumb thing for me to say. I'm sure they have auctions where people make money.
Yeah.
Like, they definitely do. People sell their, like, family heirlooms and stuff all the time. Like, that doesn't always go to charity. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I have to wonder, you know, where the heck came
from. It's life-changing money. So, like, it's hard to think about, like, you know, giving up a hat for 20 grand. 20 grand is life-changing for some people.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
1,000%.
I guess so. I think like $1 million is life changing money. I feel like 22 grand is like a couple of car payments, but I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if.
Yeah, we also, different skew of, you know, 20 grand, you know.
20 grand is a lot of money. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not a lot of money. I would not call 20 grand life changing money. I think that 20 grand is a good donation to a charity, but I'd be shocked. Like, who's selling that? I don't know. Like, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's good, you know, a semester of school. It's certainly, I think that it's, yeah. What? What?
Oh my God, I think they announced Effie. Who's going to play Effie in the Hunger Games? So, and it's Elle Fanning! Yes!
Is it really?
Yes!
Oh my God, I didn't realize.
Yes, yes. Oh my God, that's amazing.
I can't believe they did it. We're talking, of course, about The Hunger Games, Sunrise on the Reaping, which we'll get to in 2 seconds. Wow, they did it. They really did it.
I can't believe they did it.
I didn't think they were gonna.
That's
crazy. I thought people were really gonna be, like, disappointed, and I was feeling bad for whoever it was gonna be.
I mean, everybody, like, was saying that they wanted it to be Elle Fanning to be Effie Trinket, which is so exciting. Wow. Whoever is the casting director for this movie, like, literally give her a raise beyond a raise. Like, put some fucking of the best plaque casting of this woman's face.
Okay, okay. Wait, but because let's talk about that at length, because I want to talk about all the people. Right, sorry. So let's get past all this Twitter other shit.
Yeah.
So, blah, blah, blah. $20,000. Great, amazing, love it, whatever. I'm sorry if I'm sounding like I'm not acting like $20,000 is a lot of money. It's obviously a lot of money, whatever.
No, I get what you're saying.
Like, I don't think, like, you can't retire on $20,000.
No, for sure.
That's
yeah,
more, that's what right. I'm implying, and sorry if that's misconstrued. I'm very nervous about everything I'm saying right now. I feel like I'm not saying the right thing. And I feel like I'm going to cry.
Stop. It's okay.
I hate being misunderstood, and I feel like I'm just, like, really being misunderstood a lot today. Not by you, but, like, just...
Right.
It was a weird weekend.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm sorry.
No, it's not. It's literally not you at all. I just feel like I'm... My tone is not coming out right, you know?
Right. Well, I understand what you're saying. Ugh. And I think everyone else is understanding what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to sound, like, old and fucking stupid. And that's how I feel right now.
No, you don't sound old and stupid.
I swear to God, I'm not, like, full of shit when I talk. You know what I mean? Oh, my God. All right, anyway.
It's been a long weekend. Yeah.
Happy for these people, but I think that it's important, and the message is important, that, like, whoever is getting rid of this hat, whether it's a real hat or that Taylor, like, donated it separately or whatever, it's like, I don't like the idea of shaming the people that donated the hat. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
I agree.
If I'm the little kid that got that hat, I don't know how you explain that to the child. Yeah. I really don't know how you explain that to the kid, unless it is, like, a valuable lesson in charity. Maybe they didn't need that money and it was going to charity or whatever. Who knows? But I think that, like, people are going to do what they're going to do with their hats.
Well, I also think, like, with the Eras Tour, like, you had to spend, like, a decent amount of money to go to the Eras Tour in general, you know? Yeah. So, like, obviously it's not like somebody struggling to get groceries on the table.
Right.
You know,
like,
what I mean?
How'd you, like, get there to begin with? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
We also don't know how they choose these kids. We've never known, right?
Right.
Besides, like, obviously, you know, Kobe Bryant's daughter and Selena Gomez's sister. And I think there were a couple of, like, friends of friends.
Yeah.
But apart from that, we don't know how they pick these kids.
No.
Or if they're coming from the floor, if they're going up to the nosebleeds.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they're chosen. But I think regardless, you know, collector's items get sold.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's
no matter
just,
what it is, whether
it
it's Taylor Swift's hat or, you know, LeBron signing a shoe or whatever, people are going to sell shit.
Exactly.
No matter where you are, what it is.
Exactly. Okay, so then...
Speaking of the little Bryant girl.
Yeah.
Taylor liked Natalia Bryant's TikTok of her graduating.
Oh my God, is that who that was?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay, so on this list, Taylor liked, there was a graduation video of a girl and four of her friends, right?
Yeah.
And it was set to the...
Nothing New.
Nothing New with Phoebe Bridgers, the vault track on Red. I had no idea that was Natalia Bryant.
Well, when we were talking about before, when we were like setting,
oh my
when
God.
We were when I was like finishing setting up, you're like, oh yeah. And like, we were like going through topics and you're like, oh yeah, like the girl. And I was like, oh yeah, Natalia. And you didn't really say anything.
No, I had no idea that was her. I thought it was just a random TikTok of like girls being sweet and using that song. And Taylor liked it is why I was on the list. Wow. Oh my God. That's even more.
Yeah. Very sweet. I know. And very
that
sad.
That poor family.
I know.
I just can't. All you can think of is how awful that
I know.
Was.
I
just terrible.
Every time I see them, I always just think about like how sad and tragic and just like
completely.
Unfair.
Completely.
The whole thing was with
and
Kobe and everyone.
Unfair
so.
And yeah, unfair and just, you know, you have to hope for the girls and their mom and that they can, you know.
And she had a little, she had a little Mamba Kobe logo
aww.
On her sash, which is really cute, too.
That is really sweet. Well, then there you go. Makes total sense why Taylor's liking it then. Because in my head, I was like, wow, she came out of the woodwork to like an Instagram. That's
crazy.
Just
like a random girl's
TikTok.
You know what I mean? TikTok,
yeah.
But yeah, no.
I legit thought that. I was like,
very
oh my gosh,
cute.
She's active online.
All the comments are Taylor like this.
Yeah, yeah.
So cute.
Wow,
yeah.
I completely
just
missed
like, I mean,
that it was her.
I mean, you would never, it just looks like, four very
I didn't
cute
even look
girls.
At the girls really
yeah,
I just
yeah.
was like oh someone else tagged like someone tagged us in it and on Instagram people are always tagging us. I love when people tag us in
yeah
these
me
videos,
too
by the way, so definitely keep doing that. But
very sweet. Congratulations to Natalia
yes.
on graduating.
Big
USC
congrats. Big congrats. Huge accomplishment. I didn't even think I knew she was that old. I don't think I knew that. Like, I didn't know she was like high school graduation age. I thought that she was younger for some reason.
College graduation.
Or sorry, yes, yeah. College. I thought she was high school aged.
I didn't realize
she was. She'd already been through college. I guess it's actually.
I think it was Gigi that was like gonna be in high school.
Yeah, I think
or
you're
maybe
right.
She was a freshman.
And we're thinking about this now. This is like what 5 years ago now.
I want to say so.
Was it pre-COVID?
I want to say so. Yeah,
because I remember. I
was a sophomore in college.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
I want to say.
Do you remember what year that is?
2018.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh no, he died 2020. January 26th. So
right before COVID started.
And
I'm saying I was at so weird to remember. I was at brunch at the McKittrick Hotel with one of my besties from college, and
I think everyone like remembers
where they
were.
We got like hammered at brunch, and I was like leaving, and then we were reading all these reports about the helicopter. It was crazy.
It's just like
awful.
I'll never go in a helicopter.
I think I'm out. Like helicopters are one of those things where I was like, I always would like to do one of the tours that goes over New York. Like, that's all ever wanted to do. I was like, this is so cool. I always thought it'd be really like romantic and exciting and whatever. But then you see all these things happening with helicopters, and then of course this poor people.
Oh my God,
in Hudson,
right?
I forgot about that too. Jesus.
Yeah,
it's just,
I'm out on helicopters ever since then.
I think I can just go maybe to find one of the tall buildings and look outside. You know,
right?
Like it's okay.
Yeah, but so sad.
Awful. Well, that's nice then that Taylor was able to like. And then, of course, yes. So, and Kobe's daughter, same daughter, I guess. Or no. Who got the hat?
No, that's their youngest.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
I believe they have three. They have three girls.
So, Taylor and the Bryant family, clearly very close.
Yes.
Well, let's not forget, Kobe and they all came out on stage at one point, one of her older tours. Like, their families have been friends for a long time. So, happy to see them still being friends and being okay.
So, there's Natalia, then there's Gigi, Bianca, and Capri.
Yes, yes. Okay. That's that. That's
so
a lovely,
congratulations, a little
heartwarming moment. I'm in the middle of my Summer I Turned Pretty rewatch.
You sent me a very disturbing text.
I know.
Disturbing. I didn't even respond to the second text you sent because I said, I'm not even getting into this. I'm not even because I'm going to get riled up.
For real. Like, it's,
if something's going to rile me up, it's the Jeremiah versus Conrad.
I'm so guilty right now. And again, I just finished season two. Like, I just finished it last night. So, I'm all caught up, ready to go, season three. But it is so hard, truly, watching back. And I can't wait now until season three is over for me to read the series. Because I really need to understand why everyone is so, like, adamantly Team Conrad.
Mm.
Because even from this standpoint...
Oh, so you don't know what happens?
No, I don't know I don't know anything. So that's why I'm like, I can't see a world where Conrad isn't, like... the guy who's been leading on the younger girl for his whole life and had his moment. And yeah, he's troubled. Yeah, this, yeah, that. But like it from the perspective that's being presented to us, I'm so Team Jeremiah.
Yes,
like I really am. But I know that everyone says like, you're going to eat your words.
Yes,
and I'm like,
I'll see.
Yeah, I'll see.
Because there's a huge thing that happens.
Sure.
However, I will say, was your brain not like, like, I feel like the entire season two, all Jeremiah's doing is complaining about how Belly and Conrad have this connection that will never go away. Oh, I see it. We all know it's there. It's true. You still love her. You still want to be with her. She still loves you. You guys will always love each other. But I'm still going to slide in. You know what I mean?
Yes, but like, I think that they do such a good job in the show. Like, I don't see... they don't present him as a fuckboy well enough because he looks like a guy who's hurting because of his mom, who's always been hurting and always been in love with Belly, but Conrad gets everything because he is the moody sibling,
right?
And he's always just had to pick up the pieces for his family. Jeremiah has always had to pick up the pieces for his family because Conrad's too busy brooding.
In defense of that, Conrad had to go to college and his mom really wanted him to go to school.
Yes.
So Jeremiah kind of held that against him.
Like even when, and I understand that. Like,
well, he was holding in the secret of knowing that his dad cheated without having to tell. He couldn't tell anyone
the cheating and. Well, no. He was upset about the cancer. He found out about the cancer. That's why in the beginning of the summer. Like, Conrad was in a mood at the beginning of the summer because of the cancer.
I thought that he didn't know about the cancer until Jeremiah found out.
No, he knew about the cancer first. That's why he was so, like, my mom has cancer.
and the dad is cheating?
The dad cheating thing was... Wait.
I think you have it screwed up. He knew about the dad cheating, and that's why he was so mad at the dad. He didn't want him to come to July 4th, all that stuff.
He didn't know that his mom was sick. He did know. He did know she was sick because Jeremiah was like, you knew? Remember? He comes back in the thing and was like, how can you know and you didn't tell anybody? He knew because he was talking to... Wait. I swear, I literally watched it yesterday. Conrad found out because he saw an email or he saw like something on the calendar or he got something by mistake.
Oh, okay. It doesn't say exactly, but he was extremely intuitive and smart. It can be assumed that he noticed her behavior change and realized her cancer returned.
I think it was that he like never saw clearly an email.
Stated in either the books or show. No, the email was with the cheating. He sees his mom's medical bills. That's how he finds out. No, that's Jeremiah looking at the mom's medical bills. I'm so confused.
Wait, no. Jeremiah saw the email. That's it. Jeremiah took her phone at the Deb Gala and saw the email. But Conrad knew already because he already knew she had cancer because of like a totally different thing.
Right.
And that's why he was like brooding. And that's why he was like, I'm not doing football anymore. I'm going to stay home. Like he was already prepping to like stay home to spend time with his mom, but didn't want to ruin the summer for everybody else because he knew that his mom, but she didn't know that he knew because remember.
Right. It says he wasn't even supposed to know himself. He just happens to come home early and hears his parents arguing and gets hit with the double whammy that his dad cheated on his mom while she was in chemo fighting for his life.
Yes.
And that his mom's cancer's come back and she is dying.
Okay, so he finds out both at the same time. Okay. But I don't know if it's said that, like, I knew that he was cheating, but I thought that, like, Laurel said that to someone else. Like, we didn't find, like, Conrad knew he was cheating, but I feel like someone else broke that news in the show.
Yeah, that kind of, like, and was, like, swept under the rug.
We found out
bit.
That Conrad knew everything.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, he didn't find out about the cheating before the cancer. Like, he knew about the cancer the whole time. So that's why he was, like, depressed right away at the beginning of the summer.
Yeah.
Brooding, being a bitch, whatever. Which, again, I understand. Yeah, your mom's got cancer. But, like, Jeremiah finding out and being mad at him, I thought was completely reasonable. Because I think that Jeremiah is, like, old enough to... Like Conrad was like protecting him for no reason. Like he thought he was doing the right thing. And again, I'm saying this as like having a younger brother. Like I would maybe not want my brother to know right away, but I would not keep him in the dark if we were that close in age. Like my brother's 7 years younger than me. They're only like 2 years apart.
Yeah.
Like, that's a crazy thing to not tell your brother and act like you're the head of the family and you gotta shoulder this burden. Like it was a little like brooding to me. Like that's how it was presented in the show too.
Yeah.
And again, I haven't read the story, so I don't know. And I do feel like the stories always give more details about like feeling and make me a little more empathetic towards characters like that. But I think I've been that Conrad character before and I've like been around people like that. And it's when you like are holding secrets in and whatever, it's like you're being selfish because you're fucking up everybody else's life. Like
he needs therapy for sure.
He needs therapy.
Yeah.
100%. I'm saying all that.
I think he was trying to do it for the better of everybody else, not realizing that it was actually selfish.
That it was selfish, right.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, from the outside, it was like, well, duh, Conrad. But I also think, like, Jeremiah, I'm still not seeing the bad in Jeremiah. I'm seeing resentment towards his brother, for sure. But I'm not seeing the ill will towards Belly. I do think that
What about him shooting a firework at them?
I thought that was like a bratty thing. And I also think it was like not even coming close to them. Like
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, but yes, he was being like a brat and pissed off. But even in that moment,
I just think
like,
it's really strange how he's like so adamant that Conrad and Belly have this connection that'll never go away, that blah, blah, blah. But he still slides it. Like, he knows how much his brother loves her. He knows all this stuff. Like, he knows Belly's in love with her. And to be fair, Jeremiah only liked Belly after she got hot. He never was interested in her when they were kids.
Yeah, but
Conrad was always like the nice
flashbacks? One. There were so many flashbacks of her and Jeremiah being like the cutest best friends. Like they're the same age.
Yeah, but he
they
never
were, like,
was
hanging out when they were sick together.
He never
like,
was like he never had a crush on her. He only had a crush on her
Conrad didn't
did.
Even see her until she showed up and was like, "You look different this summer." Like he was using her. He was using her to introduce him to other girls at the fucking carnival.
No, no.
Yes, they were at the carnival together. She missed. And she thought they were being
cute. Remember, she misread the whole situation. She thought that he was flirting with her, and then he was like, "Oh, where'd you go? Like, you left me all alone."
No, but that's why. That's the thing. Why I don't like Conrad is I interpret that as Conrad's pretending like he doesn't know that Belly's obsessed with him and in love with him, right? And just being like, "Oh, she's young. She's this. She's that." But he's taking advantage of the fact that she's so in love with him. And then as soon as he decides he's interested, he knows that she's going to bend over backwards because she is in love with him. So then when Jeremiah later is like, there's always something between you and Conrad. He's mad at Belly, not at Conrad. Or no, I'm sorry. He's mad at Conrad for taking advantage of Belly's like undying love. Like she'll always have a thing for him. But yeah, Jeremiah so wants it to be him and wants to like change her mind. That's how I'm interpreting it. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what happens in the rest of the story. So whenever the new season comes out, I'm ready to eat crow on it. But like the way it's being presented is I'm having a hard time like being on Conrad's side. So they're doing a good job, I guess, in like keeping it, you know what I mean? Keeping it in the middle, I would say. Not knowing any of the rest of the story. So if Jeremiah really does end up being a piece of shit, then whatever. And I'm sure the books have a lot more detail as to like their personalities. Like that's always what bothers me about the difference.
The books kind of suck, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought everybody really liked them.
Well, I mean, maybe I tried to read like the first one, like, 3 years, like when the show came, like first came out again, and I was like, oh my god, this is really brutal. Like, she's just, Belly is like,
I don't like
10 times more insufferable.
Like,
in the
I don't
book.
Like Belly. Is that people don't like Belly, right? She's supposed to be annoying, right?
I think, yeah,
I think she's like a major pick me. Like, that's the vibe.
No, for sure. It's also just like, there's also more boys in this world than like two brothers. Like, you can really branch out.
Oh, totally, but I think she's a pick me in the way of like, there are a couple things, and this could be a testament to like, what's her face's Lola Tung's acting. But she like, I'm really do think it's actually intentional. The more I think about it, she'll show up and she's kind of like she like acts like she's still a little kid, but she's not just a little kid anymore.
Yeah.
And she like uses her naivety as an excuse for her bad behavior.
For sure.
And I think that is like, even in season two specifically, I think she's way more aware of what she's doing.
Yeah.
And she just like lets it happen because she's just like, whatever. Like, I think she's not like so innocent.
No, definitely not. I mean, like, she's like, what, 16, 17? If I was 17 years old and I had two hot brothers fighting over me, that would be my whole world. I wouldn't care about anything else.
Absolutely.
I would be entertaining both of them, fucking up my whole life. So I feel her
big time. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that's more the real Belly than like,
no, for sure. Belly's like,
she's not a victim in this story.
No,
like,
totally not
even
like
close.
She just maybe should not go back and forth between two brothers.
Yeah, she's also like, really involved in their family drama, like the whole house thing, like,
right?
That was like, it's just, you know, obviously it all worked out, but it's like, whatever.
Agreed.
Anyway, so that's that. The only reason I wanted to bring it up, and obviously in the middle of the rewatch, but I'm sorry, I just finished it. But two things I thought were hilarious. One is there's a flashback where she and Conrad, this is post summertime, like when she and Conrad were like, will we, won't we? This is like the Christmas after that, right? I think they go down to cousins while
right.
it's snowing on the
love
beach.
Love that scene.
And me too, it's really sweet. But
I thought your specialty was hot cocoa.
Wait, but they go and she literally on the way there, she's like, oh my god, I just have never seen snow on the beach. And then the whole time I'm like, oh my god, perfect time for snow on the beach. And then it plays like,
yeah,
I wish you would, or this love, or I forget exactly what song
I
they
forget
play.
Which one it is too, but like, it is funny. And then they
it's
don't
hilarious
use, and then like, they don't use snow on the beach until
the
that
breakup.
Later scene.
Yeah or like whatever. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
The party scene where he's like, I thought you knew, and she's like, oh, if you had told me that you went to Jeremiah, like, I would have fought for you.
Yes.
Also, in one annoying another annoying
you're
thing
a little,
about Belly
you're a little
oh oops
things on
annoying thing about Belly is that she, you know, she's telling everybody, and she's letting Jeremiah think that Conrad broke up with her. You know, she's telling Susanna, she's letting Jeremiah think she broke up with Conrad.
Oh, yeah.
At prom.
She broke up with Conrad because and to be fair, she needed to do that because he was being wishy-washy
about
it. Like, he should never have showed up at prom. He should never have, like...
I agree with that.
Like, why did he always act like he was forced into
it?
But
can I say one thing?
Yeah.
You could tell that he was, like... you know, overwhelmed, whatever, his mom was like in the middle of whatever,
for sure.
And he kind of presents out, he's like, can we like go like in another room and like talk. And she's like, no, like she's kind of being selfish. She's like, no, like, let's just stay here.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And that's kind of what like starts the whole thing. Cause he's like, I just want to like sit down and talk to you.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just want to have the perfect prom. Like, it's not really about prom right now. But when you're 17, your whole life revolves around prom.
Absolutely. I do notice that they mention a lot in season two how Bailey makes everything about herself.
Yeah.
They like bring it up constantly. They're like, it's not always about you, girl.
Yeah.
You know, which is, I think is funny. And it's like about fucking time someone says it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like even the moments where like, you know, Susanna is on the FaceTime with Belly and the girls and Conrad forgets the corsage and Jeremiah's like, how did he forget it? Like, I just feel like Jeremiah is very thoughful about Belly.
But he's also always pointing finger and he's always blaming everything on Conrad. Like,
but sometimes I think Conrad fucks up a lot. Like, I think that he needs to get his shit together. And it sounds like he probably will. But I think that he himself, being the older guy in the situation, like, Belly was 15 going 16 and Conrad was like, hey, I'm off to college and like you've been in love with me since you were literally in diapers and now I'm gonna take advantage of that. Like, that's the perception I have of Conrad right now.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah was just like, I've been here all along and we are best friends and
what if we could be something different more view. Like, to me, like, Conrad and Belly always were in love with each other, like even when they were kids. I think Jeremiah just is so like obsessed with being Conrad and being better than Conrad that like anything that he wants,
even
Jeremiah
that, I think,
wants.
Doesn't come across well in the series. Like, I don't feel like he wants to be Conrad. You know what I mean? Like, I think that Conrad thinks everybody wants to be Conrad.
Jeremiah admits to it in that whole party scene where he's like, I wanted to beat you. Like, I looked up to you and now you're a coward.
For sure. Like, okay. But I think that that's like I took as like a cutie sibling thing where it's like, it's like, I looked up to you. Like, I wanted to be just like you. I wanted to be as good as you. Like, I didn't think of that as like malicious. But again, if it becomes malicious, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like Jeremiah always just like is pointing fingers at Conrad when Conrad's just trying to do his best too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
He's sick of Conrad shit. I think Jeremiah's just been like the agreeable younger sibling that has to do everything for so long.
For sure. I get that for sure.
You know what I mean? And now he's sick of it. And now their mom's dead and he's grieving on his own too. You know what I do think was fucked up? I'm sorry. I wouldn't mean to have a full debrief on the show. What I think is fucked up, and Belly apologized for it to him, was that she really did neglect him entirely when their mom was dying. Like, she was like, Conrad, 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 and completely forgot about her literal best friend, Jeremiah.
But like, he also put, like, he didn't let her, like, she said she tried to call him a million times, tried to text him, like, wanted to play, like, the board games when she came for Christmas and all that stuff, and he was just like, I don't want to talk to you. He's like, if she's going to be here, like, I don't want to be here. Like,
true.
Okay.
Although, I felt that too, because if I showed up to like, he didn't know if she was gonna be there at all. Remember, he showed up and it was a surprise, and then they were holding hands at the table in front of him.
Yeah, but he
never even involved himself.
Like,
I would kill my brother. Like, I would be like, have a little decorum. We're all going through some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Conrad is equally selfish. Equally.
Yeah.
In their own ways. But again, these are all teens.
Yeah.
And one day they'll figure it all out.
I hope so.
You know who's a hot man that we don't have to get mad at in any way?
Who?
Harry Styles.
Never.
Harry Styles, he's out here taking photos. I miss him too. He's taking photos of people on the street on his digital camera and sending it to them via Instagram.
Months later.
Which is so funny.
They took the picture like, I don't even, like, I want to say,
I didn't see. I didn't see that.
3 or 4 months ago.
Oh,
or
really?
Like 2 or 3 months ago. And he, like, had just DM'd them. It was very sweet.
Crazy he, like, remembered their, you know, thing to DM
their,
them.
Their, like, Instagram handle. Yeah. He's just so sweet. And he just loves so much. And he's just an angel. And I miss him. And he needs to come back.
I hope it's music soon from him. I just think that I think he can heal the world right now. I think we need his soft touch. I need to
his
be softened
loving caress.
Up. And it's him. Yeah. It's him.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's do a quick, we can talk as long as we want.
Well, I think we might have to be out of here in like 3 minutes.
Do we? Okay, all right, then let's do a quick 3-minute discussion about The Hunger Games. Sorry we took too long on Summer.
We can talk about it on tomorrow's episode too, if we don't want to rush it.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Let's do that because I don't want to rush it.
And you know what's something fun we could do tomorrow too? Let's talk about The Hunger Games casting, and then let's do Taylor Swift songs for each character.
Perfect, for each character.
Perfect.
Sunrise on the Reaping. So if you are not up to date on Sunrise on the Reaping, We'll try to avoid spoilers of the book, but at least read the synopsis so you know the characters. It's all about Haymitch if you're a Hunger Games stan. Also, oh my God, Hunger Games was in the background of Summer I Turned Pretty. Belly showed up somewhere and there's like a Hunger Games book in the background.
Yeah, she reads Hunger Games in French.
That's right. Yeah, which I was dying over. So anyway, all right, perfect. All of that aside, let's see, Taylor Swift news, we've wrapped it all up. Let's hope, I kind of want to hope that nothing happens before the next time we record, like nothing
right
bad,
between today and tomorrow.
Yeah. And we'll just see how it all goes, but let's just hope for some peace. We can do our homework of Hunger Games assignment. We're going to talk about the Hunger Games casting tomorrow, which is really, really exciting. And then, of course, if you'd like to call in and leave a voicemail about anything we discussed today or in previous weeks, you can go ahead and do that at
347-450-0723. 347-450-0723.
You can go ahead and leave a voicemail at that. If you're feeling shy, you can text that number or you can send us a message on Taylor Watch. Keep an eye out on our stories on our Taylor Watch Instagram as well. We will be doing rapid fire questions. We always post a little last second story for anybody who didn't get a chance to call or write in. And until tomorrow, until Thursday,
love you guys.
Love you.